the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new week of broadcast on the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us not only today, but every day this week as we continue our tradition of bringing you beautiful Christian music and inspiring preaching and teaching from the Word of God as preached by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Today, we are continuing with our verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of John. Right now, let's hear, "I am thine, O Lord," and then Dr. Green.
Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Dear Heavenly Father, lead us as we study today. In Jesus' name, honor thy word and save some precious soul for Christ's sake. Amen. In John chapter 7, we read down through verse 47 or 46, and we discussed verse 46 on yesterday. The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." The officers were the men that were sent by the Sanhedrin to arrest Jesus and to stop his preaching and teaching in throughout the countryside. And when they went to arrest him, I told you yesterday, they made one grave mistake. They stood and listened when they arrived instead of arresting him immediately. And when they stood and listened to the words of Jesus, his word arrested them. They could not put their hands on him. They could not touch him. Now, in verse 47, "Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived?" Then answered them, that is, the officers, when they said, "We couldn't bring him, we could not arrest him, never a man spake like this man," the officers said, "Are you also deceived?" Now, there is sarcasm in the Greek here. Greek scholars tell us that the language is highly sarcastic. In other words, the next verse, "Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him?" Now, there is sarcasm here. In other words, you poor, ignorant, stupid officers, are you so stupid and so ignorant that you would believe on this fanatical Nazarene? Have any of the rulers, the outstanding rulers, believed on him? In other words, if the rulers have not received it, if the rulers have not accepted him as the Messiah, who are you to know that he is the Messiah? Now let me say this. Today, in that day, and in every day, it is the ordinary person, the shepherd lad, such as David, the ordinary man, the man of the field, the man of the pasture, the man of the woods, the ordinary man, the common man, heard Jesus gladly. And down through the ages, it has been the ordinary people who have put their faith and trust in Jesus. Now, I don't mean that there are no outstanding educators, scientists saved. I don't mean that. There are great educators, great scientists, and great politicians, and great statesmen who have loved God, feared God, served God, and lived for God. But they're few and far between. Now, the masses that have followed Jesus, I mean by that, the thousands who have trusted him have been the common people. I'm going to read some very interesting scripture in just a moment given to us by the Apostle Paul. Read on. Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? But this people, who knoweth not the law, are cursed. More sarcasm. In other words, you poor, stupid, ignorant officers, you don't know the law. Who are you to believe on this Nazarene? Who are you to come back here and tell us? Learned, educated, religionist, tell us, never man spake like this man. Now read on. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them. Now Nicodemus was the teacher in Israel, and most Bible scholars believe that he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was an outstanding personality, ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night, and many believe the reason he came by night, he was a coward. I'm not too sure about that. I'm not too sure. Maybe he was a coward, but I think he was so busy with his religious activities during the day, he didn't have time to go see Jesus through the day. I told you when we studied John chapter 3, there are thousands of church members, deacons, stewards, elders, Sunday school teachers, and people who are on committees. There are thousands of them so busy with their religion and so busy with their meetings that they don't have time to win souls. They don't have time to study the Bible. They don't have time to pray. They don't have time to do anything but keep the machinery running. And when the big religions keep the machinery running and keep all the committees busy, they don't have time to win souls. They don't have time to go out on the street of forgotten men, highways, byways, where the poor, needy souls are. They're so busy serving religion, they don't have time to serve Jesus. And therefore, the masses are dropping into hell without God. You remember we studied in chapter 5, the poor man who had been paralyzed for 38 years. He was lying at the pool of Bethesda. And there, Jesus came and said, do you want to get well? Would you like to be made whole? And the man said, I have no one to help me, no man to help me. He was within a stone's cast of the temple. He was there where tens of thousands of religious people had passed by year after year. And for 38 years he had been sick, and not one man had had time to help him. Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, he asked a question, and here's what he asked. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Does our law judge a man before our law allows that man to testify and tell us what he is, what he's doing? Now, Nicodemus came to the defense of Jesus, but listen at the sarcasm in this. They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. So Nicodemus said, does our law judge a man before we allow him to testify? And they cut right back at him, and they said, are you, Dr. Nicodemus? You mean to tell us that you have joined the Galilean man? Have you become one of them? You, the teacher, the ruler of the Jews? Yes, sarcasm. Now listen, beloved, these officers who went to arrest Jesus no doubt were just ordinary men. I'll grant you that they were elected or appointed by the rulers, but they were just ordinary men. And when they came back, they confessed that they could not take Jesus, they could not arrest him, because they'd never heard a man speak like Jesus spoke. And as I pointed out a moment ago, that shows to us the power. Yes, the great power of the word of our God. And of course, every word that Jesus uttered while here upon this earth was the word of God. Now, here's a verse let me point out, and then I want us to study some other scripture that'll shed light on this scripture. In verse 52, they answered and said unto him, that is Nicodemus, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Now, they said in so many words, nothing good could come out of Galilee. No prophet has ever arisen out of Galilee. And in reality, they were saying to Nicodemus and to the officers, no one but a stupid ignoramus would follow a Galilean. Now, let me show you what the Apostle Paul tells us and the light he gives us concerning this matter. Writing to the believers in the Corinthian church, Paul said, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now, you remember a moment ago, I made this statement. There are some outstanding educators, scientists, politicians, statesmen, doctors, yes, lawyers. There are some outstanding professional men who are Christians. Don't you ever say that Oliver Green said, there are no outstanding personalities who are saved. Don't ever say that I said that. I didn't say that. But I want you to watch the words of the Bible. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many, not many, not many. Now, you name one outstanding statesman. You name one outstanding educator. Name one outstanding scientist or chemist or astrologer that is a God-fearing Christian, and I'll name 1,000 ordinary men, just plain ordinary men. Now, why is that? Why is that? You know, Jesus said, unless you be converted and become as a little child, except you be converted and become as a little child, you can in no case, under no circumstances, in no wise, can you enter the kingdom of heaven. But you know, we have a few men who have brains like a giant and a heart like a child. Now you listen to what I'm saying. We have a few men who have a brain like a giant, a gigantic brain, and a heart like a child. And such a man is great. He is great in two ways. He's a great asset to society, and he's a great Christian. Because when great men can have the heart and the faith of a little child, they can know the God of all grace, the God of all wisdom, the God of all knowledge, the God of all understanding, and they can know the God who created all things, even the stars. Therefore, a great scientist, a great astrologer, a great chemist, a great educator can be greater when he knows the God of all history, the God of all science, the God of everything, the God who created all. Not many are called, not many, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. You see, Israel was looking for a gigantic, outstanding political giant. And they still are. They still are. And one of these days he'll come, and his name is the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist. The man of sin, the son of perdition, the king of fierce countenance. He'll be the last world ruler, and the nation Israel that will be back in their own land. And of course, you know as well as I know that in your day and my day, in the year 1946, 48, was it 46 or 48, one or the other, my mind doesn't serve me at the moment, Israel became a state and was recognized by the United Nations. And that's the first time in over 20 centuries that Israel has been a nation with a government, with its money, with its president, and was recognized as such. So the fig tree is budding, and one of these days, after the rapture, God will call his people back, and the Antichrist, the false Messiah, will present himself sitting in the temple, and he will announce that he's God Almighty. And Jesus said in John 5, he said, I came in my Father's name and you rejected me, but another will come his own name and you'll receive him. And Jesus was speaking. And when we were there, we studied it. We gave a lot of time to that because it's prophecy and we need to see these things. Now, the Antichrist will be a man of miracles. He'll pull fire down. Read Revelation 13. Read Revelation 13 and many other places. He'll make an image speak. He'll perform miracles. He'll be the greatest miracle worker since Jesus. And, of course, Israel will receive him as Messiah and will worship him as God. Now, God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Now, these dear people, the Sanhedrin, in the days of Jesus, they said to the officers, are you deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? Have any of the religious leaders believed on him? Now, you poor, ignorant, stupid officers, you come in here telling us that never a man spoke words like this man spoke, and you couldn't arrest him because of his words. Do you know one outstanding Pharisee that has believed? And then they said, people who do not know the law are cursed. Now, the rulers and the leaders branded these officers stupid and ignorant. But I want to tell you, my friend, God bless you. You go back and study the life of Dwight L. Moody. Now, I'm not saying he was stupid, but bless your heart, he was just an ordinary, poor salesman, and he had a very, very, in fact, he couldn't read, couldn't even read. He learned to read after God saved him, and look what God used him to do. He took two continents by the hand, and he preached the gospel that absolutely turned two continents upside down for God. And they tell us that there were more than 1 million souls born again under the ministry of this salesman that couldn't even read his Bible when God saved him. And here these fellows are. They are saying anybody that would believe on that Nazarene, anybody that would go after that Galilean, they're stupid, they're ignorant, they don't know the law, and they're cursed. Now listen carefully to the words of the minister to the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no F-L-E-S-H, flesh, big men must become as little children before they can know God, except they be converted. So, God hath done all this that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Notice the and. Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now let me say this. The man to whom God dictated these words by the Holy Ghost and he penned them down, he was a great man. He was an outstanding man. The Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, he was an outstanding religious leader. So let me point out again, not many wise, not many noble, not many mighty. Some, but not many. Some, yes, but not many. Now, Paul was one of the some. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was an outstanding person. He lived after the straightest sect of the Pharisees. Of course, he was saved after the crucifixion. Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and Saul of Tarsus was born again. Now, the reason I read this scripture in 1 Corinthians 1:26-31, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 through 31. The reason I read it, I just wanted to point out to you that it doesn't make any difference what the outstanding religious leaders of our day, the outstanding teachers of our day, doesn't make any difference what they think about you, doesn't make any difference what they say about you. Now, I'm not going to call the young man's name. I'm not going to call his name. But just a few weeks ago, in a university that I won't name, a professor made fun of a lad who believed in a literal Adam and Eve. They were real people. This professor said they were just characters of mythology, like Little Red Riding Hood and Old Mother Hubbard. And no such person as Adam ever lived. No such person as Eve ever lived. Now, this professor called this young man's name in class and made an example of him before the rest of the class. And thank God, this young man, who is a Christian gentleman, asked the professor for an audience with him. And he gave him an appointment. And he went into the professor's office and he said, "Now listen." He said, "You have informed me today what you think about God and the Bible." And he said, "You know what I think about it. Now," he said, "you lay off me in the classroom and don't bother me anymore and don't make a public example of me anymore and don't make fun of me anymore. If you do, I'm going to report you to the trustees of this university." Now, I thank God for a few young men that have backbone enough to stand up in the face of a big shot, a doctor, and tell him that he cannot make fun of God and get away with it. Now, I praise God there are a few people left, a few, yes, who have convictions and they stand on them regardless of the cost. So they made fun of the officers and they called them ignorant and they made fun of Nicodemus and they said, "Well, you've joined the Galilean band. Now you go ahead and search and you see if any prophet, anybody that's ever amounted to anything has ever come out of Galilee." But that didn't change the mind of Nicodemus, because when Jesus was crucified, Nicodemus and Joseph claimed the body and buried the body of Jesus in Joseph's new tomb. Hallelujah. So, we come to the close of chapter 7. Now, when we begin chapter 8, we'll find a most interesting account of an early morning Bible class. And the Pharisees have been out all night searching for some person to use with whom they can accuse Jesus. They were always trying to find something wrong. The very crowd that should have been trying to get people saved were trying to destroy the Lamb of God. Isn't it sad? I praise God for verse 46 in chapter 7. The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Not many noble, not many mighty, not many wise, but Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. As it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Hallelujah. Are you saved? If you're not, God grant you give your heart to Jesus right now. Father, honor thy word, the precious name of Jesus, the shed blood, and save that soul that's nearest eternity without God. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake and his glory. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green speaking to you again, and as we approach the end of October, I have a new gift offer for you this week, one that we are very excited about because it contains a new item for us here. We put this little mini series of messages together for you, and it's only one item in our gift offer. Now, gift offer P, besides that item, contains a book and 10 copies of a very popular 4-page tract by my dad. And all of that is in our gift offer P, and it's available to you in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $20 or more. Now, you know we work each and every day to get the gospel out, and we can only do that through your donation. So if you can add some extra $25, $30, $40, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, I urge you to do so to help us help others come to Christ. But if you can send a donation of at least $20 and ask for Gift Offer P, I'm excited to tell you about our first item. I call it the Gospel in a Nutshell. Now, it contains two messages preached by Dr. Green on the radio. It will be on a CD, one compact disc. Now, these weren't preached in two consecutive days, but I heard the first one. I was very impressed. And then a week or two, 3 weeks, sometime later, I heard the second one. And I thought this would make a wonderful, wonderful mini-series. So I went back and found the first one, and we have put it together on one CD. Now, also, we have several songs to go along with the theme, The Gospel in a Nutshell. The first message talks about John 3:16, so I know you'll find it very helpful as a soul winner. Then we have Glimpses of Heaven. Now, this is another book that we put together here at the Gospel Hour, a perfect bound book, 164 pages long, five great sermons by my dad, all talking about heaven. I enjoyed reading these sermons so much that I wanted to put them in this book for you. Finally, 10 copies of the Soul Winning Booklet, Have You Heard? Now, after you see this, I'm sure you will order more, and we're happy to send as many as you want of this four-page tract, Have You Heard? So to get all of this, just ask for Offer P and send your gift of at least $20. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.